To learn more, to read our past volumes, and to submit, head to our Instagram at QUQuilt. We can't wait to read your work. Love, Quilt.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Join CFRC on September 28th at the Berm Factory at 9:30 a.m. for our Airwave YGK Soundtech Workshop. Rob Bailey of Kingston Soundworks will facilitate this hands-on workshop for young emerging musicians just starting out playing gigs. Come learn soundboard tech, terminology, troubleshooting, communications, equipment setup, and soundcheck basics with this local industry pro. Register now for the free workshop, make in-person connections with local musicians at a prestigious venue, and learn the ropes of sound mixing to help you get started with your live stage performances. The fun starts at 9:30 a.m. on September 28th at Broom Factory and includes a catered lunch from our friends at Old Farm Fine Foods. Register now via CFRC.ca. This CFRC Airwave YGK workshop is made possible through the support of the City of Kingston, Kingston Arts Council, the Kingston Music Office, the Broom Factory, and our friends at Kingston Soundworks.
Hey there, folks. It's time now for When We Wake. I'm your host, Andrew Shaver, and you've got me for just under 60 minutes here. And on today's show, I've got a wake-up call with singer-songwriter Jake Nickel. Jake grew up wanting to be an inventor, and well, it turns out he is, because Jake builds the places and the tools he records with, right down to the microphones, the compressors, and, you know, all the other bits in between. Jake moved to Newfoundland with his twin brother and one of his sisters for university to make music and to build a studio, and he's never stopped tinkering. When the pandemic hit, he went to his family farm in Guelph, Ontario for what he thought was going to be 2 weeks. It became a year and a half of sustenance farming with Dad. Since early 2024, Jake's released two albums with companion EPs, The Homespun Lonely Mission and The Synth Sparked Saturn Returns, Jumping Styles Without Losing Heart. Today we chat about his time spent on the farm, his studio builds, his proclivity for a good dumpster dive, and of course, the music, because there's so much of it. Overachiever? Well, maybe. Or perhaps he's simply built for it. Here's my wake-up call with Jake Nickel.
Check, check, check.
Definitely hear you.
Okay.
We did it.
We did it. Somehow it's always a bit of a rigmarole.
Yeah. All right. For a guy who builds studios, I figured getting on Zoom might be a little easier.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, the main thing is that I didn't give myself enough time. I was downtown printing off some posters, and I thought that it would be quicker, but I literally sprinted back from downtown to get to here. So I'm a bit sweaty right now.
You may be sweaty, but I'd say you're in pretty good shape, Jake Nickel, because I don't hear you panting in the least. I mean, maybe you got a filter. Maybe you've built a bespoke de-pant. And not de-pantsing, but de-pant.
Yes. An analog de-panter.
Yeah. Well, what goes into that, do you think? If anyone would know, it would be you. How would you build an analog de-panter?
Well, it would be some sort of like sidechain filter, like a compressor, sort of like a de-esser, but it would be tuned to the frequencies of a pant.
Okay.
I guess.
Gotcha. Let me ask you, if you wanted to eliminate a sound, you need to figure out what frequency that sound is occupying, and then basically how does that work? How do you eliminate a sound?
Yeah, so I mean, that's the one most straightforward way to do it would be like, you've got a sound, it's a particular set of frequencies, or it's a very simple sound, it's just a sine wave, it's one frequency. That's the easiest thing to get rid of, because you can just isolate it. Something more complicated like noise, you have to, there are various sort of like noise reduction plugins or whatever that will map the noise, get exactly the frequency response of your noise, and then apply that filter. And then to make it even fancier, you would use sort of like a dynamics processor that's basically paying attention to what is not noise and what's noise, and trying to turn down according to that frequency response, only the noise.
So for example, there's a noise that, you know, that's existing in a frequency range. You give me a frequency range that would be in any frequency range that we can just talk about a noise being in.
Well, let's say we're talking about a de-esser or whatever, you know, so it's like 6 kilohertz or something like that.
Okay. Now, does it eliminate all sounds in 6 kilohertz, or how do you identify if you don't want certain sounds eliminated, but you do want that? How do you do that?
Well, so yeah, this is why it's good to take it the one step further and not just apply an EQ across the board, because yes, if you're applying an EQ to a track, that would mean that like all your 6 kilohertz sounds on everything would be gone for the whole vocal track, which would make it sound weird.
Yes.
So you need something that like basically recognizes there's a big peak in 6 kilohertz when you say S. And so then the reduction kicks in ideally.
So that's what you were talking about, the dynamics. The next step is
exactly.
I gotcha.
Yeah. It's basically reading the dynamics of that frequency profile and only turning it down when you need to. And that's generally how a lot of noise reduction stuff works.
Well, that's very cool. I find that interesting. I hope the people listening find that interesting. I know you find it interesting. Why do you find that interesting? How did this begin for you? You write songs, but you also build the studios in which you record the songs, and you take it a step further. You build the mics and the compressors that through which you're sending the songs in your studio. Where did all this begin?
I guess I've always been interested in this sort of stuff in terms of like fiddling around and fixing things. I was a bike mechanic for a while. I've always been interested in that sort of stuff. My parents were like, "You're going to be an engineer someday," and I became a sound engineer.
Well, so it worked out,
you know. So yeah, I guess I had an aptitude for it and an interest in it, and then once I started like actually like trying to record and like have more analog stuff, it just became a necessity eventually to be able to fix stuff, because you know, I live in Newfoundland. I was like, I didn't really know anyone who fixed gear, you know, so I'd be like, I want this tape machine to work, I guess I'm gonna have to fix it, you know. It kind of sprang out of that, being stingy and obstinately DIY.
Going back into your childhood, like, I mean, I don't imagine you were a six-year-old bike mechanic, but maybe you were. Tell me I'm wrong. But like going back, can you sort of thread it all the way back? What were you interested in as a kid?
I definitely, like, the reason my parents were like, you should be an engineer, is that I just like, you know, like one of the first things I did was like set my, you know, when I was drawing, was like set my bike up and like start drawing it piece by piece, you know, and I was very interested in how things were put together and that sort of stuff.
Cool.
I was always like, I wanted to be an inventor when I grew up, and this is, I guess, the closest thing to doing that.
Well, do you consider what you're doing inventing? You said the closest thing, but you didn't say you achieved that. What's the delta there? What's the disparity?
I mean, I guess that like my like childhood dream of inventing, I would say, is a bit more in that like romantic, like Alexander Graham Bell, or like, you know, those the like golden era of like first inventors where they could, you know, they're just figuring out everything, and everything is like all technology is at a scale that's very like human and like sort of, even like electromechanical stuff, it's like at a like you can work with your hands scale, you know, so that sort of thing. I guess that was my idea. But yeah, I mean, I'm still basically doing that. I also, I guess, like at this moment, feel like there's always further to go. So yeah, I'm building stuff. I'm doing some designing, but I feel like there's always more to learn. And maybe when I'm old and I have gray hair, I will have finally achieved the inventor status.
Does the gray hair signify old age or inventor status?
It happens when you electrocute yourself. That's what I'm pretty sure.
That's what it is. Okay. When will you be old, Jake? The gray hair is going to come from having electrocuted yourself sufficiently.
Yeah.
And that renders you old? Or when are you getting old?
I plan on never getting old, at least in spirit right now. Well, give it 20 more years, you know?
Right.
Yeah, at least.
What are you? You sitting mid to late 30s?
Yeah, I'm 36.
Great. And
You just became a dad fairly recently, I think. If what I read online and see on Instagram is to be believed,
you never know.
So maybe I'll get it from the horse's mouth right now. You became a dad. Yeah. Talk to me about that. When did that happen?
Yeah, I'm not just faking it for the likes. Although an AI generated baby would be a hilarious prank.
Talk about new inventions.
So I mean, I'm like sprinting to my meetings and like a little disorganized and later than I might normally be. See, I'm going to blame the baby. That's right.
I do. I blame the baby here all the time, man. And people buy it. So yeah. I'll buy it. Even though I can see through it.
Yeah.
I see through it, Jake, but yeah, I'll buy it.
I could be more organized. It's my own damn fault.
We both could.
I'm going to play that card right now.
Totally.
No. Well, okay, how is it? It's a subtle but absolutely humongous, like significant life change that is very hard to describe. And I also, I feel like I talk about it a lot with other parents, but I'm also like a lot of my friends don't have kids and that's totally cool and that's totally fine. And I kind of don't want to be like proselytizing or being like, it's amazing, but it is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And, it kind of like refigures the like basic building blocks of like what I'm doing and what I care about and what's important. Mm. And I feel a lot less like existential in a certain kind of way. There's less time to like worry about sort of just like, what am I doing? Do people like my art? Like that kind of thing.
Right.
It's like any time that I have to work or like actually get stuff done that I like, it's like, I'm going to do it because I want to. And that's what I like to do, you know?
Right. Right.
So it's like taken away a bit of the procrastination thing. And then also, it's just cute. It's just, I mean, he's 9 months old right now. And
okay, he's nine. Okay.
It's such a cute little, he's hilarious. You know, I could sleep more, but whatever, it's all worth it. It's yeah.
What's happening at 9 months? What are you surprised by? What's he learning? What's he struggling with? What's he like?
Well, he's just getting his first tooth. So a little bit of teething. He's a very outgoing little guy. So he like really, I think if he had it his way, he would just be like held in our arms and like walked around and introduced to people nonstop. You know,
that's cool.
Like every new person is like, ah, hello.
Right.
He's not shy at all. He likes to like kind of, he does this like chant thing, you know, he's like, and then he like waves his arms around. It's really funny.
Are you recording it at all?
Yeah. Well, I am trying to, but actually it's funny. I was just at a cafe this morning and a friend of mine was like, you got to record all the sounds they make, 'cause you know, it all goes away so fast. And it was just like a reminder that, yeah, I've been recording as much as a little bit here and there, but I could be upping it, you know?
Right. So, right.
Especially, you know, not just using my iPhone or whatever. Like, yeah, I got to build something off of this like chant thing. 'Cause it's at this point it's iconic. Yeah.
So when you say I got to build something, what are you thinking here?
Well, I already did do a song off of the like sort of sound of his heartbeat through a fetal monitor thing.
Is that on the new album? Is that on Saturn Returns?
It's on hold.
Oh, it's on hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Galloping Horses is the idea.
That's Galloping Horses. So that's from the fetal monitor?
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
The first time I saw one of those, you know, we were going to the nurses all the time and they get out this little wand, they squish a bunch of blue gel on it. And you know, it's sonar or something like that, high frequency bouncing off, and if somehow it hears the heart moving around and it makes this sound like that.
That's very good.
And first time I heard it, I was like, wow, what a cool machine, and like how does it work and what else can you use it on? And eventually if some friends of ours gave us one that they had, and
that's cool.
So I tried experimenting and it was like actually surprisingly limited what you could use it on. Like it could kind of make your vocal cords make sound out of it, but it ended up not being as versatile or as interesting as just the sound of the heartbeat itself. So I recorded that. I mean, luckily it was built in with an audio out already, you know.
No kidding.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they know that people are going to be sentimental about these sorts of sounds, so they're expecting them.
And yet they only ever offer you the photo of,
yeah.
of I know, the ultrasound. It's true. I want yeah. the sound. That's really cool, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, wow. I recorded it, and one of the nurses said to us when we were doing it that it always that sound always reminded them of like distant horses galloping, you know, this like and I thought that was a beautiful imagery, and so I wrote the song about that, and kind of also about the general sort of funny state of anxiety we were in pre-birth, you know.
What is the heart but a pump made out of muscle? Blood running through the body, keep it moving, make it hustle. 3 billion beats will make a lifetime out of nothing. 3 billion beats, the pounding hooves of horses running. Sound.
is so cool. Galloping Horses from my guest today, Jake Nickel. Now back to our chat.
It was an anxious time for you?
I mean, not really in the grand scheme. Like, we had no problems with the, you know, there's no issues to be actually worried about. But it was just like those final 3 weeks when it was like any day it could happen, you know, but not today, I guess. I didn't, you know, we'd both taken our time off work. I wasn't going to play any shows or record anything. It was just like, okay, here we go. And so now what? You know, I'm like someone who likes to do stuff. So that's when I sort of started working on this album, that EP, just to like fill the void.
I see.
And I guess there's a little bit of anxiety in that, like, you know, when you're recording and you get to like the end of the take and you're like, don't mess up now. Don't mess up now. You know, it's sort of that feeling, but even higher proportions. Like, everything is going smoothly till now, but like, you know, anything really could happen. So.
Yeah, the stakes are a bit higher.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Okay. So I found it so interesting, musically speaking, with respect to the albums, that last year, Lonely Mission came out, the full length album came out, but then also it had like an EP, Ego Trip, came out. And now we're talking about On Hold, which is an EP that came out this year, I think, earlier this year. And Saturn Returns, the full length, just came out on the 1st of August.
Yep.
Stylistically, we'll get into this, like Lonely Mission and Saturn Returns, very different sonic territory you're exploring, probably thematic as well. Love to hear about that. But Ego Trip sits, you know, the companion piece to Lonely Mission sits sonically like where Lonely Mission is, and On Hold again it sits sonically where Saturn Returns is. Are they companion EPs? What's the thought behind these two EPs that come along in the same year as full-length albums?
It's kind of interesting. With Lonely Mission and the Ego Trip EP, those Ego Trip EP was a bunch of songs that I did record around the same time as Lonely Mission. I just felt like they're similar, but if I, you know, no matter how I tried to like put the album, the track order together for Lonely Mission, it felt like, it sort of broke it up a little bit. So I put like these, there were a bit more like upbeat songs on the EP, a bit more like rock oriented. And then Lonely Mission could be a bit more of like a folkier album. But the funny thing about Saturn Returns and On Hold, although it's like it looks similar from the outside, I recorded Saturn Returns like over the last 6 years. On Hold was, it just sort of popped out because of this funny window of time of waiting for my son to arrive. And the only reason it's like so synth heavy and sort of like synth pop is that I had, found a synthesizer at the electronics recycling part depot of the dump. There was like a dumpster there that they have like all the vacuum cleaners and cables and stuff that they recycle. And I found this old like Yamaha synth there in perfect working condition. So it was just like the synth was just like sitting there on my table while I was like sitting around doing nothing. And I was just like, well, bam, you know. So in a way it was an accident that they ended up sounding so similar. But it also made sense to me, it's funny like where the boundaries of intentionality and happenstance are here, but somehow it did come together with a sort of coherence, I guess.
So that synth that you found at the dump, which I want to talk a little bit more about, that's not the synth that's on Saturn Returns.
It was a different setup.
Okay.
Saturn Returns was mostly recorded at my studio downtown.
Studio J. I want to get this all straight.
Yeah.
There's Studio J in St. John's, which is your studio downtown. And then there are two others, right? The Scamper and then the Cabin that you recorded. Those are two different studios that you recorded Lonely Mission?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, okay.
And the cabin at my grandparents' farm that I turned into a studio is now back to just being a cabin.
Oh, I see.
So it was a setup. Before I had the Scamper, I set up my whole sort of, you know, the whole thing over there. And then once I had finished building the recording camper, all of that gear ended up in there.
I gotcha. Okay. So let's talk about the dump.
Yeah.
You found a synth at the dump. What were you doing at the dump, Jake? Looking for a synth? Like, is that a thing you do?
I mean, I should be doing that. I had a friend who had a couch, and own a truck. So I took the couch to the dump and I was like, hey, Pam, I'm just going to check the electronics dumpster real quick. You know, I won't take anything, I swear. And then like 5 minutes later, I was walking back with this giant synth in my arms, but she understood. We have a small house and not a lot of space for things, but a synth is always welcome.
How big is a giant synth?
It's not giant, but it was, you know, it's full size machine, not a little
gotcha
thing. Yeah,
not the little guys.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
And so that hasn't inspired return trips to check out the electronics bin?
It has, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I'm out there, I do take a peek. And I used to, like, when I was like a sort of crusty punk kid, you know, I used to do a lot of dumpster diving. I guess this is just a, like, even more legit way of doing that, because they don't care.
When were you a crusty punk kid?
When I first moved to St. John's, I was...
What was that, 2009?
This would have been, 2009. You know, I had helped start a bike collective, so we were like anarchist, you know, community bike collective called Ordinary Spokes, which is still going, actually.
Cool.
And, you know, it was that sort of, the spirit was in the air at that time anyways. You know, we all wanted to be like train hopping vagabonds, banjo playing train hoppers, and like...
Right.
Eating out of the dumpster and, like, you know, getting back at capitalism. And, you know, I'd say that's all still very much baked into my core in a way, but I'm right. Currently not actively eating out of a dumpster anymore. Yeah.
I guess. What was it like eating out of the dumpster when you were? What were you finding? A lot, I imagine.
What was I finding? I mean, a surprising amount of, like, good food. Yeah. I mean, it's just generally it was, like, lots of vegetables. Preserved food that's fine, just like cans of stuff, you know, whatever they'd overstocked or just like has slightly gone bad or was past its best before date, but it was still fine.
Like behind grocery stores and restaurants, basically.
Yeah. Only once was anyone like, hey, get out of there, you know, kind of thing. But it was it's like you're really like you're literally like rubbing your hands and face to the like in the waste of capitalism when you're a dumpster diver, and it really gets you fired up about like, man, there's got to be a better way, which there does have to be, I guess. But a lot of like Sobeys and Dominion, they've recently over the last 10 years started incorporating trash compactors, so there's just no way to even get at it anymore unless you want to get potentially squashed in a trash compactor. So
makes me think of is it Empire?
Star Wars.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene I'll never forget. Oh, that scene.
As a kid, that was horrifying.
Oh, no. Oh, totally. It remains horrifying.
Yeah.
Truly. I have visceral memories of watching that scene for the first time. Let's hear some music from Saturn Returns. This is Jake Nickel with Free Space on When We Wake.
To Every dollar became more dollars. Every piggy has its jar. Every plant has its label. Every effect has its cause. Every person has their story. Every force has its laws.
Most recent release, Saturn Returns, an album that came out in early August of this year. That's Jake Nickel with Free Space. Now back to my wake-up call with Jake.
Speaking about being a kid, we're all over the place here, Jake. You have a twin brother, don't you, who you began writing music with 20-some-odd years ago. His name is Billy, is that right?
Yeah.
Where's Billy these days? And are you still collaborating with Billy?
Yeah, he's in Guelph right now. Actually, he's in Italy right now, but he lives in Guelph.
Who knows when people are going to listen to this? So yeah. He might not be in Italy.
He'll be back in Guelph by the time people.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think, he's still playing his shows. He's playing a show later this month there, and he just played in Italy. Uh-huh. But yeah, we still collaborate. We still play shows whenever I'm in Ontario. We try and organize something. And I'm bugging him to maybe record a new EP or album sometime in the next little while. We used to do absolutely everything together.
Classic twins,
exactly. We're fraternal, so not identical. But we got into songwriting at the same time as my older sister, Ilya, also started writing songs. We were all sort of doing it together. I got like more into the recording side of things, but we were all making stuff. And we had a band together called Run to the Rocks for a number of years out in St. John's. And basically right when we released that, our like last album, he moved up north. And since then.
Okay, so yeah. All three of you moved to St. John's?
Yeah, yeah. There's a period of time.
What's that about? Why did that happen?
Because we liked it. I guess short version
but
of
like
this
all
story.
I get that one of you liked it, but then like all three of you liked it. Did you like it or did you like each other or a mix of both?
Mix of both.
Like, can
mix
you not both. Live without each other?
We're definitely right. Like, there's four of us siblings and we're okay. Definitely very close. We get along very well.
Who's the odd one we haven't spoken about yet? The odd one out.
My oldest sister, Amy. So she lives in Toronto right now.
Uh-huh.
Why did we move out there? Because my sister had taken 2 years off or 3 years off, and then we ended up all going to Ilya. We ended up all going to university at the same time, and she went to Mount Allison. I went to Dalhousie, and Billy went to Munn in St. John's. And we all.
Why did you guys all come east for university? What happened? What is it?
We have some family that in Cape Breton or just near the causeway, and we had visited when we were kids and we really liked it. Ilya went to the Gaelic College of Arts for a couple of summers and so did I to do some snare drumming and that sort of stuff in Cape Breton.
Oh, cool.
And so we had this like, you know, nostalgic childhood association with the East Coast and what life was like out there. And so we all picked East Coast universities and then visited Billy in St. John's and we're like, whoa, St. John's is like extra cool. And I think right away the like inviting feeling of the music scene, like the first time that me and Ilya visited, we ended up playing a folk night at the ship.
Uh-huh.
And like, everyone was like, hey, who are you guys? That's awesome. Like, you should play more shows. And like, immediately it was just like, wow, okay, there's a scene here. There's something to do here. And
the ship is the epicenter of the scene, right?
The ship it's like a longstanding, like, standby music venue bar that's been around for a very, very long time.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that was basically it. You know, the official excuse was school. The other advantage is that Munn is like half the price, or was half the price, yeah, of like Dalhousie, right, and Mount Allison and all those universities. Wow. And so we all shifted our undergrads to Munn, and we lived in the same house for a little while on Prescott Street downtown. And
my goodness,
and set up a bunch of like house shows there. And it was a fun time of like,
I bet it was,
connecting to St. John's community, but also still very connected to the like Southern Ontario and other music scenes from there. There's a lot, yeah, of people like coming and playing shows. So yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Cool, man. And then somehow you ended up, and did all three of you end up back on the farm during the pandemic?
My brother was in Kitchener-Waterloo area, and my sister was on my grandparents' farm, which is about 10 minutes away from my dad's farm.
So you were living on your dad's farm?
Yeah. And my sister was living on my grandparents' farm. And yeah, me and my sister had just... we'd just done a tour in Germany for 2 weeks, like right when the pandemic was like unfolding.
Like in February or March?
It was the first 2 weeks of March. And
We were on tour. Did you finish the tour, or did it get cut short?
The last show was canceled.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I had just been in Italy before that, and Italy had been hit like early on in the pandemic.
I don't remember that. Okay.
So they had closed down. I flew from Italy to Frankfurt, and it was kind of like the pandemic clock got turned back 2 weeks. And they were like, oh, there's a pandemic in Italy, but whatever. Who cares? Those Italians. Anyway,
it's those, yeah, Italians. And
like,
that's right.
And then like 2 weeks later, it's like, uh-oh, we're shutting down. 3 week shutdown, and hopefully this will all pass over. And that was in March 13th when, you know, again, Trudeau was like, everyone get back to Canada. And we're like, ah, okay, we're good.
What did that feel like? He was speaking,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely. It was, it was crazy. You know, and we,
was it hard to get home? Did you get home easily enough?
We drove to the airport early morning to Frankfurt. They almost didn't let us out of, like, the city we were in. It was close to Frankfurt. Can't remember where it was, but there's like cops, like scary German police, like on the highway, like making sure people wouldn't leave the town. And we're like, we're Canadians, we're trying to go home. And they're like, okay, you can go.
Wow.
And then we got to the airport, and it was like, you know, the big like lists of flights on these like big signs. It's just like canceled, 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 canceled. And we're like, oh God, hopefully our flights are fine. And we had booked separate flights. So Ilya got home. She got on her flight first, and I like twiddled my thumbs anxiously, hoping that my flight would get back. And I did. It was fine.
So she got home first. Is that why she was on the grandparents' farm? It's a nicer farm. She got first pick.
No, it's just her and her boyfriend were, there's a bit more space there, right, basically. And I had planned to go back to my dad's place for 3 days. It was like a stopover in Toronto.
Oh my God. And you were there for how long?
A year and a half.
A year, yeah, and a half.
So,
wow. And during that time you built the studio,
yeah,
that you recorded Lonely Mission,
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you write all the songs for Lonely Mission while you were holed up, you know, living with dad on the farm?
Yeah, probably about half of them. So yeah, some of them were a little older and like had been kicking around for a while. But yeah, a lot of them. And then I wrote a lot of new songs that ended up on the Pool House, which is like a record, right, that actually released before Lonely Mission, but
right,
it's all topsy turvy sometimes. But yeah, the farm, I didn't want to go back to St. John's cause my studio doesn't have a yard, and it also just the like stakes, the high stakes of everything made me want to be near my family. I was, mm-hmm, like, I don't know what's going to happen. And also there's this like almost sense of like apocalypse, like anything could happen. What if like supply chains are complicated these days? Like,
yeah,
we're just like, this is a crazy experiment. Anything could happen. So I'm going to like plant this huge garden, and we're like, we're going to grow enough food for 20 families. And so we got out the plow and we went nutso and like plowed a whole bunch of fields, made a bunch of gardens where there weren't gardens. And wow. I was obviously very invested in the gardens.
So that's what kept you there as long as it did.
It was that. It was also my sister got pregnant at that time. And, you know, and we had just like we were in our like tiny little bubble.
Tough time to have a baby.
Yeah. She was like the one other young person that I like hung out with for a year, basically.
Yeah.
So and we'd just been on tour together. So it was like a, you know, I wanted to see it through. Basically, I was like, I can't leave before her daughter's born. And
that
also,
was what it was like. That was the dead. That was the sort of, you know, the end.
Basically,
point that
after that, once Poppy was born, it was like, OK, I can go. I'll go back to St. John's. Yeah.
Wow. And so where's Ilya and Poppy and
they're living in Stratford in Ontario right now. Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time in Stratford.
Oh, really? Festival. Nice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Their house is right by the festival grounds.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So Poppy was born. You came back to St. John's. We're talking sort of mid to the second half of 2021 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Feel good to get back? Did it feel like coming home?
It was wild. Like my whole, like, you know, a whole year and a half just like unexpectedly gone. And like, you know, my studio was like
just
in my apartment, just sitting there.
Okay.
I had various friends who had used it as a studio.
Okay.
To record, some friends subletted there from time to time. But I got back and it's like everything was in exactly the same place. It was like
a little time capsule.
It was like a little time capsule. It was
before,
you know,
the world went topsy turvy.
Exactly. It was an emotional experience, like to go back and be like, whoa, okay, my space, you know, this whole world that I, you know, I kind of went a little bit loopy living on the farm, I would say. You know, it was pretty isolated and it was not a lot of opportunity to like see too many friends.
Right.
It just was this sense of like, I don't know, can I return to the life that I was living before? Is that even possible? I don't know, you know?
Oh.
It was such a like intense identity shift. Like, yes, I was making music and still connected with my friends from a distance, and you know, the internet was great for that. But like in terms of my immediate surroundings, my family, like my grandparents don't really know who I am as a musician, you know. My aunts and uncles don't really know, like, so I was like, it was like living in a parallel reality, and like, and I was also like playing with like sort of other identities, you know. It was a little, it was a time to like step off the like I'm a musician guy and like try something else. So I was actually like, I had been shadowing a millwright, a friend of my aunt's, who like was like repairing large machines in factories.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So he's like he's basically a mechanic for like, for factories. So we went to like, some furniture factories, so like paper factories, like with his like big truck full of tools. And like, he's this, a guy named Tex from Oklahoma. Like I was LARPing into some whole other universes. Whoa. Which was very, very interesting.
No kidding. Yeah. I mean, there seems to be some confluence between that and building, you know, a studio or building microphones or compressors or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you learn a lot from Tex?
I would say, yeah. We also repaired my grandpa's old Case tractor together. That was a saga.
You know,
spent basically a year fixing, like rebuilding the engine entirely.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I learned some more like machinist skills and also some electronic stuff from him as well.
Right.
He also gave me a lot of components that I ended up using for building some of these things.
Let's have a listen to the title track from Jake Nichols' 2024 full-length Lonely Mission, the album that he recorded in the cabin studio he built on the family farm on When We Wake.
Josephine's life was a lonely mission, lost and confused in a land unfamiliar and wild. She was there, she was sort of missing. You could never quite tell where she was going to go. You men, the was a bird, she'd be flying so low. With feathered wings beating a steady incline. If she was a kite, she would have no string. Nobody would be towing her line. Human voices urging you to come back home. Human voices urging you to stick with the sky someday, or will she burn up in the fiery sun? If she falls down, I would try and catch her. If she ascends, I'd ask her.
Lonely Mission from Jake Nickel. Now back to the conclusion of my wake-up call with Jake.
And definitely, like, that's why this album took so long to come out, was that when the pandemic happened, like, the whole tone of it, the theme of the songs, the whole vibe was just like, I don't know how to relate to this right now. I don't even know how to be a musician exactly. I need to step back and try something different, and that's why I ended up working on Lonely Mission instead. There was something very sobering about the pandemic for me. I think everyone has their own, it was a big effect for everyone, but it was different for everyone. But for me, it was like a, you know, I had been full on like touring a lot, playing shows all the time, jamming all the time, recording all the time, very embedded in like the niche world of like music making and producing and recording, and the like the world that comes along with that, you know, of just like just exploring ideas and like sort of living this like dreamy half-baked life, sort of like a lot of time to like philosophize and be weird. I'm being vague, maybe I'm dancing around what it is that I was actually up to, but yeah, I don't know, I feel like I was kind of exploring sort of philosophically, spiritually at that time, you know, in a like intense way. And then like the pandemic was like a slap in the face. It was like, what's real? You know, it was like, what's actually real? Like there's this whole world of like ideas out there. Yes. And it's fun to explore, but like, you know, do you believe in vaccines or not? You know, that sort of thing, right? Like, do you believe in science or not? You know, what's actually happening and what's real and what is true. And it was like a real like moment of like, okay, then I've been like just like having fun, playing around, nothing really matters, everything's goofy, la 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 la. And suddenly it's like life and death and like highly politicized, and I really felt like, oh wow, you know, like that was sort of what I was exploring and playing with Saturn Returns. And at the time of the pandemic, I just was like, I need to think about something else, or I need to think about it in a different way, you know? So yeah, I don't know. That's where I was behind the scenes.
Mm. Is there a song on Saturn Returns that connects to how you were feeling, that sort of draws the bridge from where you were before the pandemic to now? Like, is there a song that managed to span those feelings?
There are like a couple of the songs I did actually work on during the pandemic and post pandemic as well. Post pandemic, whatever that means. So like Lesson, there's even some lines in there about, you know, the pandemic needing
There's a
to...
lesson we'd better be learning this time, for
yeah,
example.
Exactly.
Is that a
yeah.
line?
Yeah. Yeah. Or sometimes it takes a pandemic to get you out of a rut.
Yeah.
Verse three.
Yeah.
So I would say that was my feeling at that particular time when it all went down. And then obviously I've come back to it and found the vibe. Mm. Again, and hence why I'm releasing it now. So,
man, it's really great to chat with you. I really dig your music, and I like talking with you.
Likewise,
I'm always happy to chat with another dad who's continuing to make music and forge forward with a creative identity.
Yeah.
While, you know, working through the world as a dad, and
yep.
trying to find the balance between the importance of both those things.
Yeah.
One fuels the other. For me, I imagine it's similar for you.
Definitely, yeah. It's nice that I have felt like I've been able to integrate the two together, you know. And whether that relates to everyone, you know, whether people relate to a guy singing about being a dad or whatever, who's to know. But for me, it's nice to it's integrated now. So
yeah,
it's been a pleasure talking to you too.
We'll close today's episode of When We Wake with a track called "The Lesson" off of Jake Nichols' Saturn Returns.
It's been going for quite a while now. Over and over and over and over again. We've got something going, I don't know how to understand. I'm not sure, I'm not sure, I'm not sure that I. Expecting different results. Trying and crying and trying all over again. Sometimes you need a pandemic to get you.
you out of a rut. Sometimes you need your whole world to fall apart. And time has come to change the song. Time has come. Oh.
His most recent album, Saturn Returns. That's Jake Nickel with The Lesson. And that brings us to the end of another episode of When We Wake. Big thanks to my guest, Jake Nickel. My goodness, Jake Nickel, the kind of guy that makes me wonder if I've got the skills to make it. And, you know, I build a microphone. I sometimes have a hard time figuring out how to properly plug it in. If you'd like more information on Jake, his last name is spelled N-I-C-O-L-L. It's jakenickel.com, Jake_Nickel_studio on Instagram. And he sells his music on Bandcamp. And if you want to find me on Instagram, go for it. I'm hiding in plain sight. It's The Andrew Shaver and at When We Wake Radio. If you're new to the program, hey, thanks for checking it out. I produce the show at home in Nova Scotia, and When We Wake is now syndicated clear across the country, from Newfoundland to BC. So big thanks go out to all the stations that support it. I also publish these chats as a podcast wherever you get them. It's When We Wake Radio with Andrew Shaver. Our theme song is Got You by my friend and yours, Noah Reed. Thanks very much for listening.
My name is Corey, and I am one of the managing editors of Quilt, a literary publication for and by undergraduate students here at Queen's. Right now, we are hiring for our 2025-2026 team, and I want to invite you to apply. We're looking for undergraduate students for our financial team, event planners, illustrators and layout designers, editorial board, copy editors, and outreach team. We are also seeking grad student advisors to work alongside the editorial board. To find more information and a link to apply, go to our Instagram at QUQuilt.
Queen's Parkinson's Kingston is a student-led club dedicated to raising awareness, fundraising, and supporting those affected by Parkinson's disease in both the Queen's and Kingston communities. On September 6th, join Queen's Parkinson's Kingston for the 2025 Parkinson Canada Super Walk, taking place at Lake Ontario Park and running from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Learn more.